Man, it's going to be awesome having space. Oh, a stage and a platform so people can actually see me when I sing. I mean, maybe you don't want to see me, but you're going to now in the new building. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, the word is good, isn't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Job chapter 22. Job is the book that is right before the book of Psalms. That helps you to find it. Job is probably the most misunderstood book in the whole Bible. Praise God. Job chapter 22, but we're not going to talk about the things of why it's the most misunderstood book in the Bible. Praise God. Maybe we will someday, but not today. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful, so thankful for the word this morning. Father, what you've done for us, help us to fully understand and to realize it, because we are a blessed people. We are, you know, Father, spiritually, you've knocked it out of the park, Father. We're born again. We're on our way to heaven if we've accepted you. I mean, what could be greater than that? Even no matter what all the world could throw our way, we have that to look forward to. And Father, we're so thankful that death has no power on us. We have no reason to fear it. We have no reason to dread it, Father. That's going to be our great reward, actually, to go home and see you. So, Father, that's taken care of. But, Lord, you also gave us the abundant life here on the earth through the Word of God. And, you know, Father, just the fact that we're in this building today, Father, and the fact that we drove here, the fact that we have clothes on, the fact that we had food in our cupboards, just puts us in a category in the world of so wealthy. Father, we are so wealthy in this world. Thank you for blessing us. And Father, we want to take what you've given us spiritually and what you've given us material-wise, Father, and financially and physically, and bring it to the world, Father. They need to hear from you. And so help us, instruct us, train us, guide us, teach us, Father. Thank you for fresh insight and revelation of what is in the Word already. We thank you for it. And Lord, I thank you're going to hit bullseyes in everybody's heart here today, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Job 22 and verse 21 says, acquaint. That word quaint means to become familiar with. Acquaint now yourself with him, talking about God. And then look at the result of that, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. So the word here says that the more we know him, the more peace that will come into our life. And the result of peace coming into our life will be good coming to us. And I'm not going to necessarily just preach on the topic of peace this morning. We'll just go wherever the Holy Ghost. I don't have notes today. The Lord's just going to follow the Spirit whenever he says. But what's interesting about it says that when you know him, peace is the result. And the result of peace is good. You know, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, had the incurable blood disease, suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had and grew nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, the Bible says about her. When she came in the press behind, she touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And she did. Jesus felt power go out of him. She was healed, and Jesus said to her, your faith has made you whole. Aren't you glad your faith can make you whole?
Amen.
Amen. But what's interesting is before she left, Jesus said to her, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. One translation says, go into peace and be continually healed of that problem. And so it's important that we live a life of peace.
Yeah.
Worry, doubt, and fear, and anxiety are opposites, or really kind of adversaries of peace, aren't they? Well, worry, doubt, fear, and anxiety, if we live in that realm, that's a realm that drives faith out. He said, your faith made you whole, but make sure you stay into peace to stay healed, to stay blessed. Praise God. And it's important as Christians that we live a life of peace. Well, the Bible here gives us the solution for that to happen. Acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. This message came from last week in a moment that maybe people wouldn't even realize that happened. But in my spirit, it was as clear as day. I had made mention last week talking about God meeting my needs and things like that. I made the statement that there's not a financial thing in the world that I worry about or will worry about. And I've had some big things with buildings and personal things come across my plate, and it doesn't move me. And I made that statement, and then I said the thing about, well, a litmus test of how well we know God would be if your income, do you remember I said this? If your income stopped, and there was no sign or hope that it would pick back up, and you didn't have a big nest egg you're sitting on, you didn't have a big inheritance or a 401k you're drawing from, and there was no income, what would be your response? If it would be panic and worry and fear and anxiety, that is just a sign that you don't know Him very well. Or you should say it this way, you don't know Him as good as you should. And when I said that, and I said, what would be your reaction? In the spirit, I sensed a sense of fear strike people. That when they really thought, what would be the result of everything stopping, it located a lot of people in here. That there would be a lot of people that would be in panic. That there would be a lot of people that their facial expressions would change. That their attitude, that their demeanor would change. And I showed you, actually, Josh, if you'd pull up Philippians 4 in verse 19, I showed you where our faith needs to be. Who our faith needs to be in, praise God. Because avenues and blessings, sources of blessings can change. But God never does. Economies change, jobs change, prices of gas and oil, they change, but God doesn't change. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs. Notice it doesn't say your inheritance, it doesn't say your savings account, it doesn't say your job, it doesn't say your salary. But you say, well, that's how I pay my bills. Yeah, that's a tool that God uses, but it's not your source. How do I know? Because when we started this place, I left my source of income and the money still came. Because my job was never my source and my faith was never in my source. My faith was in my God. And so I want today to talk about becoming more acquainted with Him in different areas. Thereby you'll be at peace and thereby good will come unto you. And I want to look at it from two angles. I should say this, two promises that God has given us. You know, it's interesting. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you'd prosper and be in health. Yeah. That's amazing that he mentions just those two things above all things, because really those are the two main things we need in this life. Yeah. Prosper, because prosper not only is financial, but prosper is peace of mind. Yeah. Prosper is blessing in your children. So it covers a whole range of things, but it does cover finances too. He says, I wish that you'd prosper and be in health. So today I want to talk about two things, but you can apply this to anything. You can apply it to worry, depression, fear, anxiety, all other things. But we're going to focus, and you'll see if you're not dealing with these two things, God will speak to you about what you're going through. We're going to talk about health and wealth today concerning being at peace about those two things. Because I can't stress to you enough, if a doctor's report, I'm not saying that it won't shock you. I'm not saying it won't be a heavy load at first. But if you don't go forward in peace and in joy and in victory, that's a sign you don't know your Savior as well as you should. I'm not saying that if you lost your job and they came in and said, hey, we're making cuts here and you're one of them, and we don't think we're ever going to hire you back and you can't get a job. I'm not saying that that won't be a shock to your system. I'm not saying that it won't be. I'm not trying to pretend that it wouldn't shock you or, whew, you know, maybe for a second there, cause you to be like, what? And, but my hope would be that you'd ground yourself, start doing what you know to do. It's kind of like, you know, I always talk, we have the police officers in our church that we're thankful for, but I always talk about, think, you know, examples about them. I imagine, I don't know, I'm not a police officer, but I imagine at times there's things that come across your plate that's like, whoa, at first, but then they just go into their training. They just, maybe it's like, wow, that's shocking, or wow, that's an interesting situation, but then boom, training kicks in, and you, I mean, is that right? The training, just start doing what you know to do. Well, I hope that's the way it is for this. That, oh wow, wait a minute, I know faith. I know faith. I'm just going to react the way faith would react. I would hope that's what we would do, because if you are in fear, let me just say it this way, because you might think, I got this financially. I got this physically. If you're in fear about anything money related, I'm talking, you're constantly thinking, well, what if, what if, what if? That's fear. Or, well, if you're in fear, worry about anything in your body, anything with your money, that's a problem. The Bible says God did not give us the spirit of fear. It is so natural to be afraid in the world. It is a natural thing to be worried in the world. Actually, people think you're crazy when you're not worried, when you're not in fear. And so we are spoon-fed over and over, be afraid, be worried. There's so much. You watch the news and they're telling you how bad it's going to be, how much you should be afraid. Well, that's not the flow that God wants for you. He doesn't. Fear is not of God, it's of the enemy. Worry is not of God. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Worry is not faith. Worry is what will kick faith right out the door. Fear will kick faith right out the door, and faith is what you need. So I want to talk about getting acquainted with Him in two areas and in two points of those two areas. Number one, I want you to see concerning health, concerning wealth, who God says He is. Because if you get acquainted with Him, that means you'll get to know Him. It's like this. Have you ever... I always tell the story of the relative that I had that was older than me, and I looked up to greatly. He was a very successful athlete, and he was very successful in business for a while. And so those things kind of made me really idolize him as a young child. And he's the one that would always tell me tall tales of how I was going to be hunting with the Buffalo Bills, you know, because he worked in an accounting firm that, and he lived in an area where a lot of the Buffalo Bills players live. That was true. And he would tell me, oh, you know, Thurman's coming to hunt. And I told you a story. I always thought, man, are the deer going to see Thurman's earring? Is Thurman's earring going to stand out? You know, Thurman Thomas wore earrings. I thought, my goodness, how am I going to tell Thurman you can't wear that? And he would tell me, and I'd be a young kid, and they'd never show up, and this would happen a couple times. Well, then I got to be around him, and he promised when we go to concerts, we'd have backstage passes, and the only thing we had a backstage pass to was the nosebleed seats. And he'd have some excuse. Well, I got to know him. I got to know him well. Instead of just being on the outside of and looking in and thinking I knew him, I got to know him. And so therefore, because I knew him, I expected certain things. The more I knew about him, the more I could expect of the way he was going to be. Don't you have people like that in your life? Maybe there's some people that you know how they're going to be when you go there. You know they're going to be sarcastic. You know they're going to be snotty. You know they're going to be super sweet because you know them, praise God. Well, what if we got to know God so then we could expect certain things from Him? Because if we'll acquaint ourselves with Him, we'll be at peace, the Bible says, and thereby good will come unto you. So I want to show you concerning health and wealth, who God declares that He is. And remember, Numbers 23 says, God Himself has said, I am not a man that should lie. I can't lie. God, people say God can do anything He wants. No, He can't. He can't lie. He can't lie. He's bound by His word. So go with me real quick to Exodus chapter 15 in verse 26. Who is this God that we can acquaint ourselves with? Because, and I know it sounds harsh, and I know it sounds naturally unrealistic to say that there's no financial test or trial and no physical test or trial that should move you off of what you know. But that's the truth. Yeah. God is not accepting or understanding of anybody putting more faith into circumstances than what He has said. It's true. It doesn't matter how real it is in the natural. It doesn't matter how how apparent and how much it looks that God's promises aren't coming to pass, He expects and demands faith. He does. We see it over in the Word. People that went through things that were real, that were filled with pressure, that they could feel the burn, they could feel the walls closing in. Yet God said something different about that situation, but they put their faith in the situation and God was not pleased. The disciples are such a good example of this. Here they were professional fishermen in Mark chapter 4. Professional fishermen. That means they spend their time on the water. Jesus was a carpenter. They don't spend their time on the water. So the carpenter is on the boat with the fishermen, and the greatest storm in Mark chapter 4 arises of hurricane proportions, and we find the carpenter asleep. And we find the pros worried to the point that they thought they were dead. If you're a professional fisherman and you think a storm's coming to take your life, it must have been a bad one. Right? Because usually those guys are tough. Usually those guys, most things that would scare the living you know what out of us, doesn't scare them, doesn't move them. But for them to see that kind of a storm, they thought we're dying, and they went and woke Jesus up because they couldn't figure out how is he asleep when we're going to die. And what's interesting is the master's response. Now remember, Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what my Father says. My will is to do the will of my Father. He was a God robot. And I don't say that demeaning. He wasn't a robot because he was God on the earth. But he only did what God did. And what's interesting about the master's response is however God, Jesus responded is how God would respond. Here are his beloved people, who by the way, he told them to get on the boat. You'd think he'd wake up and say, oh boys, I'm so sorry about this. I didn't know we didn't check the forecast. And come here, guys. They were so nervous they thought they were going to die. And Jesus said, what is wrong with you? So he said, where's your faith? Why are you afraid? He couldn't understand in a life-threatening situation why faith wasn't the response. So when I say to you, see, what's interesting is people won't get mad at Jesus, but they get mad at me. It's true. When I tell you that you're robbing God by not paying your tithes, people get mad at me, but the Bible says it. When I tell you to love someone, no matter what they've done to you, and you sit there and get all snotty with me and tell me, well, you don't know. I didn't say it, Jesus did. But you don't get mad at him. Take it up with him. I'm just the mailman. I don't fuck the mailman when he brings me a bill. That's not his fault. He's just delivering it. But the master, so when pastor stands up and says, there's no situation that should get you into worry, don't you get mad at me. And don't you think in your head, well, what's he know? He's only 37, am I 36 or 7? 7, I'm 30, he's 37 years old. What does he know about anything? I didn't have time to do the math. 2016 minus 1979, I didn't have the time, so she's my calculator. So when pastor says, there's no reason... That's just me saying what Jesus said to guys on a boat that thought they were dead. Yeah. Thought they were dying. And he said, this is the wrong way to respond, guys. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So let's acquaint ourselves with him. Yeah. Exodus 15 and verse 26. I'm amazed. Don't hate the messenger. Yeah. Right. You can hate the message if you want to. That's your prerogative. But don't hate the messenger. Right. I said this last night. It's true. I'm just a professional plagiarizer. I just stand up here and tell you what the book says. Hallelujah. Fox News, we report, you decide. Decide what you want. Exodus 15:26 says, and said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do which is right in his sights, will give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Now I need to stop, I don't have time to teach on this, but it's important that you understand that God does not have sickness to give people. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? You're contradicting the Bible. Well, you need to study a little bit. And you have to understand at times the Bible was translated by men. And if you look into the Hebrew on this, which I've done the studies just so you know to save you the time to do it, but feel free to do it, you'll find the same thing. The Hebrew language, when they translate things and their verbs and things, they can translate them in the causative sense or in the permissive sense. Well, the translators took it upon themselves to translate this in the causative sense. When you study the original Hebrew, it should have been translated in the permissive, not the causative. What do I mean? God said, I will put the diseases on the Egyptians. It should have read, which allowed the Egyptians to walk into because of their sin. Here's an important, you want a little lesson on Bible interpretation? I don't mean to get too teachy here. Like I said, if I get too teachy, I won't be able to get out. I'll get in somewhere and I'll just lose myself and be so confused on how to get out of there. You never interpret the New Testament with the Old Testament. You always interpret the Old Testament by the New Testament. The Old Testament is shadows, types and shadows, darkness. The New Testament sheds light on everything. Well, what does the New Testament say? The wages of sin is death. The Bible says God only has good things to give. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the New Testament and the Old Testament, they're not different. God does not contradict himself. But we always interpret the Old Testament by the New Testament. So we know by the New Testament, God can't have diseases in heaven to pour onto people. But the Word does say in Romans that the wrath of God is being revealed. People say, oh, the wrath of God, what is it? Well, it says. It says the wrath of God is being revealed unto mankind, for he gave them up to do the things they want. If you want to choose to do things in sin, God will allow you to do it. He will not force you to stay. But God's not the sickness giver. There's an enemy, and it's called sin, and it's called sowing and reaping. Amen? So it's important that you see that there. Because the way it reads, the way that was translated, it looks like God had a disease and said, boop. But the Father only has good and perfect gifts, the Bible said. So either the word's contradictory or something we have to do a little bit of study on. So I did it for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But anyways, I needed to point that out because I remember reading that. I thought, wait, that just didn't sit right with my spirit. And I dove in a little bit. But look at this. And actually, the rest of this verse absolutely shows us who God is, which I don't understand why the translators didn't get it just by the end of this verse. He says, I brought upon the Egyptians, now notice this, for I am. God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He says, I am a healer. In fact, one of his seven covenant names, we won't go over all the covenant names, we'll just go over two of them today. One of his seven covenant names is Jehovah, which is I am the Lord God. That's what that means in Hebrew. I am the Lord God, the healer, Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's what Rapha means, to heal you of your physical sicknesses. Praise God. Be acquainted with him and thereby be at peace, praise God. Amen? So he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. So maybe we ought to get acquainted with the healer. Amen. You want to know who God was? See, if God's giving sickness, then Jesus would have had to give sickness. Because Jesus only did what God did. But Jesus looked into heaven and only saw his good things. And everywhere he went, he brought healing and help and blessing and deliverance to people. Why? That's what God was doing. That was the plan of God. So there's that there, praise God, that he did for us, hallelujah. But now, the second part I want you to see about health is not only that's who God is, and you need to get in there and meditate and realize, my God's the healer, my God's the healer, my God's the healer, is now I want you to see the price that was paid so you could walk in healing. And if that doesn't convince you, nothing will. Go to Matthew chapter 8, in verse 17. Actually, go to Isaiah first, 53. Isaiah 53. Be acquainted with him and be at peace. Because when that fear gripped this place last week, I don't know if anybody sensed it, but I sure did. I thought, oh my goodness, there's a lot of people in here that if their income was cut off today, be some panic and fear. And we don't have to live that way. We don't have to live that way. And if you'll do the word and listen to me and renew your mind to it, you won't live that way. Isaiah 53 and let's go to verse 4. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, again, some Bibles have this in the middle column here. Griefs and sorrows Remember, they translated this off of the original Hebrew text. Everywhere else that griefs and sorrows, the words in the Hebrew were used in the text, they're translated in the Bible, sickness and pains. See, what I think happens sometimes is the translators got a little bit wigged out in their head about some of the promises that God had for them, and they just couldn't accept them. Because everywhere else that griefs and sorrows is written is translated sickness and pains. And if you look up those words in the Hebrew, that's what they say. They don't say griefs and sorrows. They say sickness and pains. Yeah, and diseases, things like that. Again, don't take my word for it. You can do a study. Get yourself a Hebrew-Greek concordance. Look up those words and you'll see that they were incorrectly translated. He says, surely he has borne our sickness and our pains, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. That same word healed is the same word in Exodus 15:26, Rapha. Yeah. It's not talking about healed spiritually, which people will fight you in religious circles. You weren't healed spiritually. The Bible says you were made brand new spiritually. Healed is putting a band-aid on something, making brand new is something totally that's never was there before. You weren't healed spiritually. God didn't just put a band-aid on our spirit. No, he regenerated, he made us reborn. We're brand new creatures. So the Bible says that in verse 4, he took our sickness and pains. He took our sickness and pains. He was wounded for our transgressions. Where did that happen? On the cross. Didn't happen in heaven. You have to understand, and again, in most churches, now when I say that, you might think, well, what makes you right? The Bible makes me right. I don't make myself right. The Bible. Why do you think you're right, Pastor Mike? Because the Bible's right. That's why I'm right. It's not me. I didn't come up with this doctrine. It's important to get a revelation because most churches and Christians are all about Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died for my sins. And they won't, and they shout it from the rooftops. They sing songs about it, right? We're redeemed. We're blood bought. We're forgiven. Jesus died just as much for your healing as he did your sins. Because on that cross, not only did he pay for your sin, he paid for your sickness, which makes it no less important. Now, when we say, what one would we rather have? Well, we say it that way. We'd say, well, I'd rather have healing. Or I mean, I'd rather go to heaven and have be spiritually made brand new. But why do we have to choose one or the other? We don't. And why would it make it less? The same price was paid for both. Hallelujah. Matthew 8 and verse 17 is where I was going to have you go. You have to know who he is. He is the healer. And you have to know what belongs to you from salvation. Be acquainted with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. My point is this, is when you're in the stormy boat of sickness, you'll know that the one in the boat with you is the healer. He's the one that knows your body. He's the one that made your body. He knows how to tweak it and turn it. And then part into it. And then you see your faith will then be risen up because he's waiting for your faith.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Matthew 8:17 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, which we just read, by the way, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. See, that even proves my point about the translators missing it. Matthew now is quoting that verse, and he doesn't quote griefs and sorrows. He quotes sickness or infirmities and sicknesses, praise God. Hallelujah. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Where did he do that? On the cross. Amen. He didn't do it in heaven. He didn't do it in his 33 and a half years on the earth, except for that short span on the cross. Yeah. He's not doing it now, but he bore it on the cross, praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Galatians 3, and then we're going to look at wealth. Galatians 3, in verse 13, Galatians 3 in verse 13 says, Christ, see, this is great for people maybe that you're newer to the church, newer to this Christianity thing. Understanding what Jesus did for you on the cross is vital. It's vital. It wasn't just so your sins could be forgiven. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Don't forget that statement, curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. Well, where did he make a curse for us? It tells us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So the Bible says that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law when he hung on the tree. Well, that won't mean a lick to you unless you know a little bit about the curse of the law. Because we don't have time for reference, Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 through 60-something verse, the first 11 or 12 verses tell you what blessings come on you if you obey the law. And then the rest of the verses tell you what curses come on you if you disobey the law. The curse of the law. Right? He redeemed us from it. Well, when you go and read that, you're going to see the Bible talk about a whole lot of diseases, a whole lot of sicknesses. And you might read that and find, before you get to the end, and find, oh man, mine's not included in this. Must be mine's not included. Then it goes on to say, and every sickness that's not written here. Well, the Bible says Jesus redeemed us or rescued us from the curse of the law. One of the main curses of the law was the curse of sickness. He redeemed us from that by dying. What if we had our faith in healing as much as we had our faith in our sins being forgiven and going to heaven? I am assured 1,000,000% that when I die, I'm going. I'm forgiven. I don't question that. Well, then why don't we get to be so? Because all our life we've heard Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Well, we need to start hearing all our life. Jesus died on the cross for my healing. Jesus died on the cross for my healing. Jesus died on the cross for my healing. That way when sickness comes, as sure as you are that you're going to heaven when you die, as sure as you'll be, I'm walking into healing. That's the way it goes. But people aren't acquainted with him. They're acquainted with what they've been taught, what's in their circumstances and things. No, get acquainted with him. Get your mind renewed. That he is the healer, but he showed you so much, he paid the ultimate price for you to walk into it. Amen. Can you imagine if I found out your schedule beforehand, because we could always think of what is, but I'm saying that we found out when you had some free time, and I found out your dream thing to do, and I paid for you all to go on your dream thing to do, paid a tremendous price to go on your dream vacation for a week or whatever, all inclusive. And just for no other reason, I don't think I want that. And no thanks. And it's already paid for. What? That's ridiculous. That would be like a slap in the face to the person that did it for you, right? Now again, I'm talking about something you want to do and you just all of a sudden, no. Well, that's what people do all the time with healing. A tremendous price was paid for it. Learn about it and receive it. It would be a disservice to Christ who paid that ultimate horrific penalty for us to not go down the road. Does that mean if you have sickness, you're bad? No. It means there's a devil who's trying to keep you out of it. But what it does mean is get acquainted with him and find out and get your faith to a level where, boom, you're walking into that promised land of healing. Amen. Amen. And you will. Might not come without opposition, but you'll get there. Praise God. Okay. Now, go with me to Genesis chapter 19, let me see. Genesis 22, and we'll go down to verse 13. This is when Abraham was told to bring his son Isaac to sacrifice him. God never had intended to sacrifice him. He intended to make sure that Abraham would trust him. He needed to cut his covenant with him. But anyways, it says in verse 13, and Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him there was a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. See, God was never trying to sacrifice Isaac. There was always going to be a sacrifice. And Abraham, now see, what you have to understand, though, is Abraham had his hands up ready to stab the knife through his son's chest when all of a sudden the angel said, stop. And Abraham looked, and there was a ram. He said, caught in the thicket by the horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place. See, Abraham then had a revelation of who God was. Jehovah, remember we talked about Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, I am the Lord God healer. Jehovah Jireh, as it is said in the day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now again, my Bible, in the middle of it, will tell me what the original Hebrew says. Some newer translations will just tell you to you for you right in the verse. But what Jehovah Jireh translated means, the Lord God will provide.
Amen.
Or the provider. So God is saying, just like I was fooled over and over again by that relative of mine, but when I got to know him, I knew what to expect. Just like a lot of people aren't aware of who God is, and therefore they just are okay with sickness, or they get in fear over it, and just the way they're okay with maybe lack, or that's just the way it is, or they get in fear over it, it's because you have not gotten acquainted that your God is the provider. Yesterday, today, and forever. Josh, please go back to Philippians 4 in verse 19. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The New Testament backs it up. But my God shall supply all your need. That sounds like Jehovah Jireh to me.
Yeah.
Sounds like Jehovah Jireh to me. Praise God. He said, I will supply all your need.
Thank you, Lord.
But what happens, remember, peace is how you stay in faith, is that people aren't acquainted with him and the bill and the problem financially is so big and scary and they're so unacquainted with God that they start to get into fear. They get out of peace, their faith goes down, 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 and that trial and that thing overtakes them because they're not acquainted with him. You have to get sold out to the place that you know, this doesn't look good and it doesn't feel good, but my God is the provider. He can't lie.
Amen.
He is the provider.
Hallelujah.
He's always on time. But see, don't blame God and expect the provider to provide when you're not in faith. He is bound by your faith. Hallelujah. That's why we're trying to help you with your faith. As far as I know, maybe there's something I don't know about concerning what I'm about to say. As far as I know, there's nothing that could come across my plate financially that would take me out of worrying. I've seen God do too much.
Amen.
I've been 2,000, sometimes more a month, short of paying our bills and not having any money. I've seen the money come in crazy ways. I've seen houses and buildings that God has said we can have, and that's the will of God, that look like there was no money or hope for, and I've seen the money come. I've seen too much. And let me tell you something. It is an awesome place to be. I don't say that to brag. The only way I'm there is because of the faithfulness of my God. Nothing that I did. I mean, I took the time to find out about him, but really that shouldn't be hard to get to know God. And I want that for everybody. I want everybody to experience that peace, to lay down at night. I mean, twice we left jobs to do the work of God. First it was mine, and then it was hers, and hers was paying way more than mine was paying. Left them, completely left the jobs, no money. Why? God told us to do it. We had complete faith in our provider. It is awesome laying down at night knowing there's bills and there doesn't look like we can pay them, but we don't care. It'll come. It's such a peaceful place to be because storms show up all the time. Unexpected things happen in your home. Unexpected bills happen. Unexpected things happen with the church. And it's just, that's why, not to put the contractor down. I love the contractor. So thankful for it. But they were a little shocked at my reaction when they said, we have an unexpected $50,000 to $65,000 thing that you're going to have to do and you can't get out of it. I'm like, either we won't have to do it or the money will show up. That's just what at it? It's like either something's going to happen, we're not going to have to do it, or the money will come.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to worry about it.
That's right.
I like it when Brother Hagin, this is people that know God now, when he was building all the stuff at Rhema, and they were going to build a Bible school and all the different buildings, and financial people came running up to him and said, I don't know how we're going to do this. There's no way we're going to make these payments. There's no way we're going to be able to pay for this stuff, and it's coming due. And Brother Hagin looked and said, what are you talking to me about this? If it doesn't get paid, I don't care. God told me to do it. He's going to have to fund it. That's somebody that knows God.
Yeah.
Basically what he said, paraphrasing.
Yeah.
What are you talking to me about this for? He's the one that did it. If he said to stop it, I'll be happy to shut it down. I never wanted to do it in the first place.
Yeah.
That's someone that knows God.
Yeah.
Don't give a rip. My provider will show up. Praise God.
Yeah.
That's somebody that knows God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. That's where I want to be.
Amen.
In everything in life. I don't give a rip. Doing it God's way. It's going to work out for me. I know my God. Hallelujah. Real quick, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So Jesus died not only for your sickness, but what if I told you that Jesus also died so you could have money? He did. Say, that's not that important. Oh, yeah, go ask the person that doesn't have it how important it is. You self-righteous, religious person, you. Money's not important. Yeah, okay. Then why are you thinking about it all the time and stressing about it when you ain't got it? Money is so important. See, when you put this in the context of God's plan, see, it wouldn't have been enough for him to just die for your sins. Because we're still left here on the earth. He went up there. Well, he's not down here evangelizing the world. He's not down here traveling to other countries. He's not down here writing books. He's not down here trying to keep churches going. He's gone. His people are here. Well, how are we going to evangelize the world when we're sick? How are we going to evangelize the world when we're poor? He would have had to die for things that would pertain to his kingdom, which would be money and health. It's true. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. So Jesus died not only for your sins and your sickness, he died for your money. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he... Again, I'm amazed at religious people who have churches, who have ministries, that say our Jesus was poor, because my Bible says, though he was rich.
Yeah.
Now let me just real quickly, I have my Bible here and on my iPad, and I have it in the King James Strong's edition. The Strong's is a concordance that I can go and hit a word and it'll tell me what that Greek or Hebrew word is. So I'm going to look up that says Jesus was rich in the Greek. That word in the Greek, are you ready for this? If I can say it right, it's plousios. It's Greek word number 4149. And you know what it means? Wealthy, abounding with riches. Now get this. This is what Jesus was. Abounding in material resources. Oh, I guess it wasn't just spiritual. Abundantly supplied. That's what the Bible says Jesus was.
Hallelujah.
See, people think, oh yeah, he became poor when he came to the earth. I never see in my Bible where he was. You tell me where he was poor in the Bible. He wasn't. Do you have enough supply to cater a banquet for 5,000 men? It doesn't even mention the women and children. And that there's everyone eats to the full and there's enough left over to send people home with food. Do you have enough money to do that? When Jesus needed it, he got it.
That's right. Amen.
Do you have enough... Let me tell you this. Do you have the ability, when your taxes are due, to go down to the lake and go fishing and pull a fish out and open it up and there's your tax money? He did.
Yeah. Amen.
Do you wear such clothes that if they were crucifying you, and normally the Bible says they would cast lots and rip up the clothes, they didn't want to rip up Jesus' clothes and they gambled for it because it was such a nice piece of clothing? Poor people don't wear clothes like that.
Right.
Jesus did.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Everywhere he went. The Bible said he had women that just left their life and just followed him around and supported him financially.
Yeah.
Do you have that? He was so rich, he had a treasury. He was able to support a ministry of 12 men going around. He's the head of it. Praise God. He was not poor, ladies and gentlemen. Because if you think that he was, then I can see your reasoning. Think, if he was poor, then why would I expect to be blessed if my Jesus was never poor?
Right.
But the Bible says he was rich, but for your sakes he became poor. Where did that happen? On the cross. We don't see it in heaven. We don't see it in his natural life before the cross. But on the cross, he became poor in every way. But why did he become poor? Hallelujah. Let's find out why he became poor. And actually, I want to let you know that word, wow, I'm going to say that one. In the Greek for poor is the word patachiwa. Patachiwa. 4:4:3:4. It says to become like a beggar, to become poor. He was never that way in the earth until he got to the cross. He had nothing on the cross. He became a nobody on the cross. Yet, he became poor that you, now there was a reason he became poor, just the same reason he became your sicknesses. He became your sickness so you wouldn't have to be sick. He became your poverty that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Hallelujah. Want to see what that word means? Because it is a different word than the other one. This is the word. Now remember, the other word, it's from the same kind of root, around the same word. Plousios was the other word. The word that we became was pluteo. Not potato, but pluteo. 41:48. Are you ready now?
Yes.
Are you ready for religion to get whacked right in the head? Because religion will say, oh yeah, we're spiritually rich, but money and all that material things, oh, let's just be beggars on the earth and just float by here and someday. That's what religion says. I'm not going to live that way.
Amen.
I don't know if you know it or not, but this guy's a child of the king.
Amen.
Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? My daddy's the king.
Amen.
King's children live good. You're all the same.
Yes.
You're a child of the king.
Amen.
When things aren't working, you gotta demand. This is not how life is supposed to be.
Amen.
Praise God. Yeah.
Good word.
Well, I want to show you this, that he died for it. Because if you see that he died for it, then maybe you say, wait a second. I have a right to be this way. Then if he paid for it, pluteo, ready? To be wealthy, to be increased with goods, to be made rich. To have abundance of outward possessions. God's not upset with that, people. Hallelujah. You know, I used to, and there's a balance here. If you violate your heart, that's the problem. I used to have trouble with being blessed. I'd want to hide it. And the only reason I wanted to hide it is because of the judgment of man. But I've learned something. That my covenant rights is to be blessed on this earth. And if I have things that don't violate my heart, now again, if there's things that violate my heart, I'm wrong then. But if there's things that I have in this life that don't violate my heart and God's okay with it, I don't have to worry about what people think. And neither do you. He said he became this way so you could live this way. What dad wouldn't want their child to be blessed? And again, we don't strive after the riches and things like that, but it's our right. It's our right to be provided for.
Amen.
That you would be rich, to be richly supplied. Ooh, yes. Affluent, and we'll go to one verse, then we'll close. Affluent in resources so that he can give blessings to all.
Amen.
Isn't that what we want?
Hallelujah.
How are we going to give blessings to all if we're the ones needing the blessings all the time? And if you're in that position, thank God for help, but you're getting out of that position.
Amen.
You're going to flip the tables on that thing.
Right.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9, we're right there in verse. Because you hear the word rich, and you know, you got, especially right now, Donald Trump in the news, and that guy's rich, right? And we think, well, what does it mean, rich? Well, let's find out the Bible's definition of rich. Let's keep it balanced here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 8. Now, he just got done talking about giving generously. So that's the context here, is being a giver. And he says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, you're going to find out what you can qualify for in the Bible. That you always having all sufficiency in all things. That's called your needs being met. That's called whatever you have in your life being supplied may abound to every good work. What's that? To give. Isn't that what the Bible just said? That rich is so that we can give. Be affluent enough to be blessings to all.
Yeah.
That's the definition of biblical richness. Your needs being met, you obeying God with your needs and being a blessing to everything that you need to give into.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
So in closing, let me just say this to you. Be acquainted with God and be at peace. And thereby good will come unto you. He is your source of healing. He is your source of finances. You have to take, if your faith is in your paycheck, and you know, but if that paycheck shuts off, you'll know where your faith is real fast. And I'll tell you what, it's important that you realize you better get it out of the natural and into God. Because think about Elijah. The avenues changed for him. The Lord said, go down by the brook. I'm going to feed you there. But then that source dried up. What if your paycheck dries up? What if prices change in the economy? What if things hit this country? And where's your faith at? You better get it in your God. And then God said, go down here and I'll provide for you. He said, okay, I'll go down there. He didn't stand there and get mad when the ravens stopped bringing him food and start cursing God. Oh, prosperity doesn't work. No, his faith was never in the ravens that brought him the food. His faith was in his God who made the ravens. His faith was never in the widow woman. His faith was in God, because he went to the widow woman. She provided for him. Hallelujah. My God shall supply our needs according to his riches. Don't forget it. Get acquainted with him so much to the point where if things come across your plate, you're just water off a duck's back. It's okay. I got this. I got God in my boat. God's in my boat. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, in my boat. I'll let you borrow him, because he's always in my boat. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. I am the head, not the tail. I am above, not beneath. I am the lender, not the borrower. That's what I say about myself. I am a financial magnet. I am a financial giant. Money comes to me. All my needs are met. Every single thing I need to do will be done. I live long, healthy, and strong. I'm not sick, broke, or in danger a day of my life. That's what I say every day. I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who he is. Come on. I'm trying to light a fire under you. Find out who he is. Find out who he is. Start confessing who he is. Praise God. He died so you could be rich. He died so you could be healed. Praise God. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the blessed of the Lord. I'm the rich of the Lord. Yep, that's what's coming out of this guy's mouth. All day, every day. Thoughts come in my head. What are you going to do about this? I'm the rich of the Lord. That's what I'm going to do about it. He said that you'd be rich, that you'd be healed. Not that you. He said he died so you'd be that way right now. That way right now. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Oh, Jesus, you love us so much. Lord, I'm not cocky or arrogant in how I know you, Lord. You are the supply, not me. I know I can't pay my bills without you. I know I can't heal my body without you. So, Father, I make sure that people know my faith is in you. It's you, Father. You've enabled us to get there. But, Father, there has to be an acquaintance. I know you as well as I think I can know you right now. I know you. If there's more to go, Father, which I know there is in different areas, I understand that. But Father, reveal new things to me, Lord. Show me new things. There's always places we can improve. I want to know you better, Father. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to be so sold out on who you are, Father, that nothing shakes me. Nothing makes me waver. Oh, Father, I love you. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you, Father. Just bless him right now. Just bless him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't normally do this, but when Jesus says to do it, I do it. Josh, real quick, put up James 1 and verse 6. The Lord said, you need to see this. Because God gets a bad rap, and I won't take long to show you this. God gets a bad rap when people go through things. And when people aren't victorious, just know this, it's never on his end. Look what it says in James 1 and verse 6. This is, as I was just praying now, the Holy Spirit said, you have to show them this, and so I'm obeying. But let him ask in faith. Now notice this. Nothing wavering. Remember when pastor's talking about, I want to be so to the point where I'm not shaken by anything? Do you know what shaken is? Wavering. Sure. He said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now, here's what you need to see in verse 7. Go to verse 7, Josh, thank you. For let not that man, what man? The one that wavers. The one when the finances come across their desk and they don't have the money to pay and they're shaking and all of a sudden their faith in God, their voice changes, their look changes, their attitude changes. When sickness comes their way, they change. When problems, tests and trials, they're wavering. He says, let not that man think that they shall receive anything of the Lord. Jesus said to show you that. Why? Because you need to see that's what he needs for you to cooperate with him. That's what he needs you to plug into. Unwavering faith. That's the people that receive are in the unwavering faith category. And the more you're acquainted with him, when things come across your plate, the more grounded you'll be and the less shaken and wavering you'll do. Let's continue. Father, we love you. We're so grateful. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for interrupting us. You can do that anytime you want to. Hallelujah. We love you today. We glorify you. Hallelujah. If I could have heads bowed and eyes closed. As far as I know, everybody in this building this morning has received Jesus, has made him Lord. But there, if there isn't somebody, or if someone's listening by live stream or in an archive in the future, and you've never received Jesus, we want to give you the opportunity to do so. It's a simple and it's a free gift. If you're here, or if you're listening and you want to receive Jesus, I want to tell you how to do it. First, you have to be qualified. Say, what are the qualifications? Church attendance, giving, being a good person, not being a bad person. What are the qualifications? The qualifications are that you believe in Jesus, that you believe he died and rose again. If you believe that, you're qualified. Okay, so now once you're qualified, how do you get this gig of salvation? Well, what you do now is you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. So all you need to do, if you believe in Jesus and you want to be saved, is you simply say to him, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again, and I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll do that, and if you mean that with all your heart, the Bible says he will come up into your heart and take residency, save you, and dwell inside of you forever. You'll become his child. And there's so many blessings that await you. Just let us know. Send us an email. Give us a call. We'll get you hooked up in a church that will teach you all about his promises and his blessings. Let's just glorify him and praise him. Talk to him like who he is. Hello, Jehovah Rapha. How are you, Mr. Healer? How are you, God, my healer? Praise God. Get acquainted with him. Hello, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. How are you today, provider? It's sure good to know you. Praise God. We love you, Master. You're so good. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you Wednesday night at 6:30. You're dismissed.